It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go. Four,
three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
All right, Rahm Emanuel did his exit interview with Mike Flannery. You know what? We asked for an exit interview, and he would not give it to us.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He gave it to Cochran. I get that. He was on Cochran's show a lot, and they have a nice rapport with each other.
However, do not.
I don't know. What did I do to him?
I don't know.
I've known him for decades. What did I do to him?
He always seems to keep score. Of who's
yeah, really?
Naughty and who's nice when it comes
really?
To the media.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Well, so one of the questions that Mr. Flannery asked is, remember back in 2010 when Rahm was running in the first place,
right.
2011,
mm-hmm.
There was that guy that was living in his house that wouldn't leave the house.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He rented it when he went to Washington,
yes.
as I recall.
And then there was a residency issue, yeah. and one of our other legal analysts on this program, Bert Odelson, Burton mm-hmm. for certain, yeah. as I call him,
yep.
Sort of got in the middle of that and tried to get Rahm thrown off the ballot. And, well, what are your fond memories of that?
I'm not going to deal with Lori. I'm going to say one thing. I know who was behind my residency fight.
He sure was.
I sat down with him in Pat O'Connor's kitchen. Now, remember, this is personal. It's my house. My wife has a view of this, you know. It's not just me. I said, you want to be part of the team or you want to fight? Now, could I have removed him as finance committee chairman? Yes. I would have won the battle, lost the war.
So why did you not oust him?
Because he then became an ally of somebody that knows where all the bodies are buried and knows how to count votes.
Wait, he became
Alderman Pat O'Connor.
So he became an ally.
Yes.
And that's why he didn't oust him.
Right. Pat was behind it. They found the guy.
Wow.
Remember the guy would have a cocktail-laden news conference every day at 5 o'clock in front of his house?
He was going to run for mayor.
Yeah.
The guy that took the squatter guy.
Oh,
not squatter,
right.
but the alleged guy. Yeah, the guy that was in the house.
The guy that
was in the house. For mayor then.
He would literally come out with a brown lumber in his hand, and he'd be like, you know, and another thing.
I'm living here. Might as well run.
It's the mayor's house.
It was so crazy. And did you hear Rahm snap his fingers there? It's not easy.
Rahm, what about your reputation as a tough guy?
I told you up front, I'm going to tell you the hard truths and do the hard things. That's what I was up front. Because what got us into trouble wasn't doing the hard things. What got us into trouble was kick down the road. Don't address it. And the cost of it became expensive. So I was up front in a time when you ask people, oh, I wish politicians were honest. I told you what I was going to do. And if you think you can do that, and everybody's going to go, God, we love you. You're in the wrong business. My job wasn't to be liked. That's what got us in trouble. My job was at the end to say, appreciate that he was willing to do the tough things, even when other people would have taken the easy route.
Mm-hmm. On the city's finances, I think he's absolutely right.
Hey, I want to just say this, even though he refused to come on this program. And I think actually the score started when Rich and I were working together at the other place, and we might have done something that kind of pimped him, and I think he's never forgiven
That's
either of us for that.
Probably true.
Yes.
He does remember things.
Right. We introduced him to the guy who was the fake Rahm Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
There
were
22 camera crews from across the country.
Right. We're there to watch the meeting of Rahm and the fake Rahm guy from Twitter. And it was just a moment. I've never had more cameras in a studio.
I got pushed out of the way at some point. I'm like, I'm co-hosting the show here.
Yeah. It was kind of nasty.
And Rahm didn't like that?
No.
I think he expected it, I don't know, to go differently.
So the point is, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job. I think Rahm Emanuel was a successful mayor of the city of Chicago. And all, you know, sort of personal and all those other kinds of things aside, just as a professional who watches and covers this stuff and is, for, you know, a lifelong Chicagoan,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate his service. I appreciate what he did for the city.
And you never doubted his heart that he
No, of course not.
True.
He cared about this city.
I don't really doubt the heart. There's only one guy I doubted the heart of ever. Who was in
that?
It was Gene Sawyer, because he didn't want the job in the first place.
Like,
he had to be dragged into the chamber and sworn in.
She grabbed his heart at one point
right.
during a city council meeting. He was so
right.
overwhelmed.
He
was a good man, but he didn't want
Gene was a good
it.
Man. He just didn't want that job.
Want that
but
job.
I think that Richard J. Daley, Richard M. Daley, I think Jane Byrne cared about this city very much.
For sure.
Harold Washington for sure cared about this city.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think this city. Michael Bolandic, I'm not 100% sure where that, you know, what that was all about either. But Rahm Emanuel, thank you for your service to the city.
Yep.
It is appreciated by this program, even though you don't appreciate this program. Thank you. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Now, a woman says that a Chicago alderman ruined her reputation. Proco Joe, you know, remember him? Remember this whole thing?
We remember him.
The big
Wasn't
story.
He just charged?
Yeah, this week. He's been charged now with filing a false police report and maybe not exactly being completely honest in when he was talking to the insurance company. And insurance companies don't like that. They would like to prosecute you for that. Well, this woman is Lilia Habar. She was pulled over while driving the car. She says that the alderman loaned it to her. She's a 35-year-old mom and insurance broker charged with stealing the car. But investigators found text messages that show that the alderman knew that she had the car and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. But she is not happy.
He never told me clearly what is the reason why he do that, why he done that. He's just like, seriously. When I ask him, he's like, give me a second, give me a minute. You know what? Let me go through election. I will explain everything to you. I will fix everything. I talked to him after that, and I still don't understand why he done that. So when we just met, he was so sweet and so nice. I know him for a long time, and even doesn't matter what happened, I don't want anything like bad to him. But I think he has to take responsibility, whatever what he done.
She doesn't want anything bad to him, but she is suing him. Just in case. Because I know that's something good, actually. Don't want nothing bad to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some.
All right. Okay. There you go.
Yep.
New Chicago's finest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Five current or former aldermen, currently the sites of authorities. Yes. In the sights of authorities.
Because right, he's a former.
He lost.
This one took him out, actually.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks later with the election after this news came out. So didn't work that way for Burke, but when his news came out, he still got reelected. In this case.
We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Dave Schwann, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, we've been talking about Mayor Emanuel. He just left City Hall about 25 minutes ago for the final time as mayor. Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot takes office on Monday. She has some questions about the budget shortfall. That's coming up.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Matera and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Checking in at
number three.
So Willie Geist sat down with David Letterman for a preview of NBC Today Sunday, and the conversation turned to politics.
As an American, I don't like this man as a president of our country. I love being an American, but I don't feel he represents me, and I don't like that. I mean, even with other presidents that I've disagreed with, politically, I felt like, okay, I can live with their representation. But I'm sick and tired of everybody wringing their hands about this. Oh, my God, did you hear what he did? Okay, let's just settle this at the next election. You know, let's just stop yakking about what a goon he is.
Wow. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, you had people during Barack Obama's presidency that were also saying, you know, this guy doesn't represent me and he's not my president and all of that. I mean, we've just turned into that as a country. But I do think that there is something about Donald Trump that is different because his tone and tenor is unlike any president. Yeah. But I mean, one thing you say about Barack Obama, you couldn't really tell the difference in terms of how the protocols around him than any prior president. Right, or George W. Bush. This
is a dramatic
This
term.
Is very, very
name
different.
Calling and also the pathological lying. I don't think anybody thought. A lot of people say, oh, Obama's lying about this or that. But you know, Trump just filed, he said he shot a 68 recently. Maybe an official report, whatever you do at the golfing world where you do that. 68.
Posted a score.
68.
Mm-hmm.
At Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah.
68.
Okay. Yeah. He's counting every stroke.
Mini putt putt. Millennium Park, you can't get a 68, buddy.
Hey, you know, the other piece too is that he is right, that Letterman's right about this. Is that it is that this is now up to the American people to decide if this is how we want the United States to be represented. I think it's surprising. I think there are a lot of people who didn't think he was going to behave like this. And I don't think that the president is counting on those people paying attention. I think they may be. Mm-hmm. All right. Checking in at
Number two.
Welcome back, Justin Bieber.
Oh.
New dad, new husband. Wait, is he a dad? I don't know if he's a dad. He's a husband.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin's daughter, right?
Yep.
That who he married?
I think that's right. I'm actually amazed he's still married.
Rich
Ireland, Haley.
Wasn't it Haley?
It's Haley, right? She's now Haley Bieber. She's Haley Baldwin Bieber.
It's a great name.
Man, can you imagine that?
So he's got a new catchy track, I Don't Care. He and Ed Sheeran just dropped the song about feeling alone at a party, not being able to connect with anyone except your love interest.
Oh.
We at a party we don't want to be at. Trying to talk, but we can't hear ourselves. Visualize, I'd rather kiss him right back. But all these people all around, crippled with anxiety. But I'm told it's where I'm supposed to be. You know what? It's kind of crazy because I really don't mind. Can you make it better like that? Don't
think we fit in. I don't know.
Is that auto-tuned?
That's the great thing about having such augmentation. His voice is never going to change over the decades. Yeah, he never has to worry about, like, when Sinatra, when old Blue Eyes couldn't hit the notes. I mean, the machine can always hit the notes for him.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
It sounds like every other
Justin Bieber song. It sounds a lot like his Justin Bieber. Yeah, I would say so.
Checking in at
number one.
In the Late Late Show, Spill Your Guts, Fill Your Guts, James Corden and his guests, Halle Berry and Angelica Houston, were faced with a simple choice. Answer impossible questions or consume bitterly disgusting things. But perhaps the biggest came when Berry was staring down the barrel of some beetle nachos.
Yeah.
And Angelica asked her, have you ever realized a movie was going to be bad while you were filming it?
I'm sorry, everybody who worked on this movie. Everybody. Sorry, but truth is the truth. I kind of knew that a movie I did called The Rich Man's Wife.
The Rich Man's Wife.
Was not going... I'm sorry, Amy Holden. She was the director, and I'm not trying to bash my female directors.
Yeah.
I'm not. But I kind of knew it wasn't going to be the greatest cinematic experience for the people. Nobody wants to make a bad movie. We think everything is a good idea. At the time, we say yes, right? And then sometimes you get on the set and then you realize, was I high? When I agreed to do this, was I smoking crack?
Well, that was not a good movie. They were all cheating on each other in that movie. But she was also in, like, you know, Catwoman, I thought she might have gone with. That did not go well when she played Catwoman.
All right, let's close this thing up so that we can get to the Knarba Wagon.
The top five at five.